The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been solidly set on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like the fool who built his house on sand. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, these two readings have a lot to say to us about following God's ways and the wisdom of it. And I would say that let's just begin here with the gospel. And the Lord simply makes a statement, you know, that everyone says to me, "Lord, Lord," you know, there are a lot of people who they acknowledge Jesus to be their Lord. He's my personal Lord and Savior. He's my, and all of that. But the lives they lead belie that, you know. They're not. And I'm not talking about someone who falls through weakness and gets back up and generally is moving in the right direction. We all struggle with falls here and there, but just the kind of living of a double life, you know, people who say they love Jesus but refuse to forgive, or are racist or bigoted, or who are fornicating, or who are shacked up, or whatever it might be, you know, just and not doing anything about it, just saying it's no problem with this. This is a very serious thing, and the Lord says, "Look, I'm not playing games with you. You know, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God just by saying 'Lord, Lord.' We're not looking at lip service faith. That's not getting anyone anywhere. All right. So, the image I think comes to mind is, if you give me directions to your house, and I say, 'I believe that these directions will get me to your house. I think this is great. Thanks for giving me these directions. Thank you, thank you, thank you.' But then I don't follow the directions, I'm not going to get to your house. I mean, lip service is just not going to do it, all right? And it's not getting us there. So obedience is what the Lord is looking for. So the one who does the will of my Father in heaven, all right? Now, again, we're not talking about a sin of weakness. You know, I can be on the way to your house and get distracted and make a wrong turn, but it's pretty easy to get back on course and get back in the right direction. But to simply say, "I can do what I please and go whatever direction I want, and I'm still going to end up at your house," well, that's just no way. No way. It's not going to happen. See? So, many will say to me on that day, "Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name?" Now, what day is he talking about? The day of judgment, you know. "Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we, and so on?" And he says, just simply says, I "Depart from me, I never knew you, you evildoers." So, again, that's the fundamental principle that we simply can't have what we call lip service faith. All right, there's got to be more involved. Now, you know, it's kind of a related issue. Let me just say that there's a lot of people today who put a lot of stock in what we might call good intentions, but don't want to look at actual behavior. Now, mind you, good intentions is an important thing in considering morality, but it's not the only thing. And in fact, let me just give you an obvious example. You know, every now and then I've got about three or four keys around here that look the same. You know, they have the same look to them when I just pull them out of my pocket. And I'll go to the door there and I'll stick the key in, and with every good intention, that it's the right key. I think it's the right key. I mean, and I stick it in the lock, and sure enough, the lock doesn't open. But I meant to do the right thing. Well, the lock's still not opening, is it? I can insist all I want. So after a while, just simply having good intentions isn't enough. It's not going to turn the lock, is it? So we actually have to do the right thing to open the door. And so this is these are just some images, you know, for us. We like to sort of think that simply having good intentions and simply feeling that Jesus is great and simply, having some sort of a vague sort of, I think Jesus is just all right. He's a good, he saved my soul, hallelujah. And just sort of having some lip service and good intentions is going to be enough. No, in the end, we actually have to, as he says here, not just say, Lord, Lord, but actually do the will of the Father. That's what gets us moving in the right direction. Now then, he simply then talks about if you hear these words and you do them, you're going to be like a wise man. You know, he built his house on rock. By gosh, the rains and the floods came, but it didn't destroy that house. The foundation was sturdy. See? And anyone who doesn't do these teachings, listens to these words of mine, but doesn't act on them, is going to be simply a fool. They built their house on a beach. Hello? Anyone know? See these beach houses, right? They built their house on sand, and the wind came, and sure enough, the whole house washed away, because if the foundation washes away, of course, the house goes with it, right? We're clear on that? So, again, the Lord is simply teaching us that to do His will is wise. Now, I want to just link that for a minute to the first reading, and maybe even to something in the news today, but you've got this very mixed up situation. You know, Abraham and Sarah are desperate for a child, and in a way, they'll do anything. See, even commit adultery to get the child. They end up in, you know, obviously we're dealing then here with sexual sin. Now, you see, the problem today is a lot of people think that sex is no big deal. Well, I got news for you. It's a big deal. Because it's very closely related to many, many things that take place in our society. It's related to the family. It's related to childbearing. It's related to interpersonal relationships. It's related to marriage. It's a very integral and very essential and important part of human life. And people want to just to make light of it and think that it's just something you can dabble in and have fun with and treat like a a plaything that I can do what I please with, and not expect there to be lots of social fallout. Well, that's just not realistic, see? And, you know, you look at our culture today, and you see how promiscuous our culture has become, and look at all the ills that go with it. I mean, you know, the obvious stuff like the sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS, all that sort of stuff. But also just the messed up family situations that we now experience, children not knowing their father, or divorce and remarriage and adultery and promiscuity and little young girls having babies who they don't know ready to raise, and where's the father, and then the kids are stuck in these weird, bizarre situations, and then sure enough, their test scores start going down, they start dropping out of school, they start using drugs, and on and on. The whole chaos that sets loose when we just dabble in promiscuity. Very, very tragic, see. And so you see now Abraham and Sarah are struggling here. And, you know, you think, well, just have sex with my maid and I'll claim the child as my own. Well, first of all, that's all a little bit fake to begin with, but the bottom line is that she's encouraging her husband to commit adultery, and sure enough, well, Abram's not an untypical man. Sure, I'll agree. Yeah, you want to give me your maker? I'll take her. And then, of course, you see what happens. Well, she becomes pregnant, and then all these resentments set up, you know. Because, again, we're dealing with deep feelings here. Feelings about loyalty, about marriage, about personality. I mean, sexuality isn't just, you know, a question of changing my hair color or some surfacey thing. It goes to the very heart of the human person and the personality. And obviously, you're going to see all kinds of rivalries, and Hagar begins to, I don't know, it sort of blames her, but I don't think it's probably true, but nevertheless, she's apparently looking with some smugness and superiority towards Sarah, but all of this is going on. And then there's this poor kid who's conceived called Ishmael, and he's going to be rejected. And in the end, Sarah says to Abram, you know, I'm upset with this, and he simply says, fine. This woman who he's been with now, who's bearing his child, you can do with her whatever you please. Now, where did that come from? You know, again, this abuse of a woman and a child who are in some ways victims of this whole conniving thing, and she gets driven out into the desert to live on her own. I mean, the injustice and so on of that. Well, Ishmael became the father of the Arab people, and to this very day, Jews and Arabs struggle. You see, these things don't just come out of nowhere. See? And now, what you see here, therefore, again, is how there's a kind of a nuclear fission almost in playing around with sexuality that it leads to all kinds of social ills, injustices, tragic consequences, and so on. And so the Bible doesn't just say here, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery. It's telling us a story, a moral story, to try to teach us. You see, things get really messed up really fast when you play around with this thing. Now, you also got this guy in the news, this governor, and I just want to say, I don't like to comment generally on these sort of foibles of politicians and all, but it's interesting how, as a result of sexuality, again, all the messed up stuff that's going on, you got four sons, two sons, I forget what it is, four sons, and they're all mixed up, and the marriage is falling apart, and the governor disappears for 5 days, he's off having an affair, and things are going untended to, and he's made lots of bad judgment calls, and it all comes down to basically sexual passion. And you see, again, all of the stuff that goes on, it's not just sex in itself, is it? It's about bad judgment. It's about turning against your wife. It's about indulging your passions, and then your kids suffer, and now the whole state suffers, and there's all kinds of confusion going on. And so, again, this is just another, if you will, moral lesson to us that we shouldn't play around. And when God gives us commandments, in this case, not to commit adultery, he's not just trying to take away our fun. He's trying to help us to sort of stay in a path that leads in the right direction about a lot of things in our life. See, there's a lot of interrelatedness. So I realize I'm a little bit long-winded this morning. I need to end, but I hope you'll see the point that Jesus is simply saying, look, following me isn't just about lip service. It's actually following me. It's actually saying, we're going this way, walk with me. It's actually about following the directions. This is what it means to be wise, and the results of wisdom are that when storms come and difficulties come, you've got a good, sturdy foundation, and you're going to make it through. But if you want to dabble in whether it's sexuality or unforgiveness or hatred or any of the sins that we could talk about, envy and jealousy or greed, you want to dabble in all that stuff and think your life's going to go on great, I got news for you. Your house is going to be undermined when storms come, and you're going to get more and more into serious sin and more serious sin, and in the end, you're not going to make it to heaven. See? And that's, the Lord is just trying to get us to sort of be sober here and realize that decisions are important. They're not just, oh, well, I meant well. I mean, we have to actually put the right key in the lock for the lock to open, and we've got to pay attention to what we're doing, and we've got to walk in the right direction, not just talk about walking in the right direction. Amen.